I love those verses. And you might notice those are scattered throughout the book of Philippians. But here's the key thought for today is this book about joy is permeated by a call for all of us to serve. The joy and service are not opposites. They actually go together. And that's what excites me so much about today. Today, if you're our guest or if you're new to Landmark, this is Serve Together Sunday. And we do something really special on this day. The first Sunday in November, we sign up for what we're going to do in and through this church in the year 2026. Now, please understand this. We don't carry over from 2025. If you've been doing something for 10 years and you want to keep doing it, you need to put that down. If you're ready for a clean slate to start all over, or if you're new with us, this is your day to say, hey, here's where I want to serve. And so at the end of this service, we're going to have a beautiful moment where you're going to be able to bring those forms up, and our shepherds will be here to receive them, and a commitment to your giving for the new year. And we'll just go ahead and take care of next year in a very, very beautiful way. You see, this idea of service permeates the book of Philippians. Think about our memory verse, Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having one spirit, one mind. Do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but rather consider others better than yourself, looking to their interests in each of you, and have the mindset of Christ Jesus. You see, right in the middle of this book is this call for us to have the heart of a servant. But I want to go back just for a moment to verse 1, because it's really easy when you read a book of the Bible just to skip through verse 1. And yet I think the key to us being servants is found in verse 1. Don't miss this secret. Here's the way it went. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, and all God's holy people in Christ, Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers or deacons. Say, what's so significant about that? Did you notice how Paul identified himself? Last week, we studied all the ways Paul could have identified himself in his Jewish past. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee. I mean, he had an incredible amount of accolades. And even now, in his Christian life, he could have said, hey, I'm a church planter. I'm a minister. My goodness, I'm an apostle. But the way he looked at himself is he looked at himself as a servant. And here's our key today. Before we talk about what we're going to do, we need to talk about who we're going to be, okay? The be is who I am. The do is what I do. Now here, guys, there's a danger in trying to do not what you are. You ever forced yourself maybe out of your personality type to try to do something and it just didn't work? You ever just, even today, I can try to really motivate you about filling these forms out and getting to work, and I could guilt trip you, or we could coerce you to signing up for all these things. But I'm telling you, if it's not who you are at your core, it'll be nothing but frustration. In fact, there's some dangers here. You might write these down. Doing without being is drudgery. If I'm forcing myself to do things I don't want to do, there's no joy in that. But being without doing is a bore. Maybe some point in your life, you got hurt and you're no longer serving the church like you once did. You know who you're supposed to be, but you're not doing it. I'm telling you, as the book of Philippians teaches us, one of the greatest places of joy is when you're in the middle of service. Because, guys, we were all made to serve. Because the Garden of Eden, we look back, we go, man, that was a perfect place. Everything was so cool there. Wish we could go back there. But listen, at the very beginning, God says to them, I want you to work and take care of this garden. It wasn't just floating around, just doing nothing. It involved service. And then in the fall, we gave ourselves over to selfishness. And then Jesus came back to show us that God is a servant. And then the church is told, 1 Peter 4, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. Being a servant is not just what we do. That would be a problem. It is who we are. So, real quickly, I want to talk about how do you become a servant? And these truths are woven throughout Philippians. Number one, first of all, decide to follow Jesus. Well, what's a follower of Jesus? It's a disciple. It's someone who says, you know what? I want my life to look like Jesus. Listen, my friends, Jesus didn't only come to be your savior. That's good. He didn't come just to give you a get out of hell card free, right? Free card. That might be the way to say it. He came to model to you and I what life is supposed to look like. And here's the cool thing, guys. I don't have any problem. In fact, I'm highly motivated to follow a God who serves. Like we've mentioned the last few weeks, no one before Jesus would have ever put the word God and servant together. But our God came and revealed himself as a servant. I want to follow him. Number two, develop the attitude of Jesus. Verse 5 of our memory verse said, some translations, have the same attitude of Christ Jesus. Jesus himself said, he did not come, what? To be served, but to serve. Guys, we're never going to serve like Jesus until we have the attitude of Jesus. Jesus shows up on this earth. He had every reason to say, everybody serve me. Everybody look after me. Everyone bow down to me. But Jesus said, you know, here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to come and I want to serve you. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to give my life on the cross for you. I'm come to put your interest above mine. It's a way of thinking. And some of us, guys, we bought into the way of this world that life's about me and my life's going to be good when everything lines up around me and everybody treats me right and everybody serves me. Guys, it'll never happen. And so some of us need what we'd call an attitude adjustment. We got to decide we're going to follow Jesus. We're not just going to do what Jesus did. We're going to think like Jesus thought. Number three, devote yourself to Jesus' church. Because here's the cool thing. When God wants his will done on this earth, what organization did he pick? He picked the church. And we talk about the church, one of my favorite Bible analogies is it's the body of Christ. So if someone asks you, what's the purpose of the church? Let me give you the best answer I've ever heard. Heard it from James Watkins, the preacher of this church 40-something years ago. The purpose of the church is to keep Jesus alive. That's what we do. Well, what should the Landmark Church do in Montgomery, Alabama? Whatever Jesus would do if he were here. So we have the incredible privilege to do this together. But not just the privilege, but the power of doing it together. Those relationships are not just about what we can do together. It's about who we can be together. I like some of these quotations. Jim Rohn said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. An ancient writer said, tell me with whom you associate with, and I'll tell you who you are. Because here's the cool thing. Not only do we get to accomplish the will of God, but if you want to be a servant, you need to hang out with servants. That's why I would say to you today, all your friends don't need to be in the church. Because how do we reach people if we don't befriend them? But your best friends need to be in the church. Why? Because if you hang around worldly, selfish people, you become like that, right? You hang around people who are serving Jesus together, and it's going to change you. It's like the old man who put his donkey in the Kentucky Derby. And someone said to him, said, is that yours? He said, yes. He said, don't you know this is just for thoroughbred horses? He said, yeah. Well, why did you enter him? He said, I thought the association just might do him some good. That's one of the greatest things about being together all this week has been, man, the association does you so much good. Number four, declare the praise of Jesus. Guys, worship is transformative. If you want to become like Jesus, first of all, you got to decide you're going to follow him. You got to develop his attitude. You got to be in his family where we're all doing it together. And then we've got to keep our focus on him. Here's the powerful principle I want you to buy into this morning. You become what you adore. Listen to a warning in the Psalms. The man who makes idols will be like them. Did you catch that? That's why idolatry is so condemned in Scripture. Not just that it's wrong, it's false, but you become like what you idolize. And here's the good flip side of that. You become like what you worship. I love that word adore. I love it's all around this building. Because adore carries the meaning of love and worship. Man, I adore Jesus. And the more I adore Jesus, the more I keep my focus on Jesus. It's cool. It's like hanging out with a great friend, for good or bad. You hang out with someone long enough, you become best friends. You find yourself saying things like they would say it, or looking at things with their attitude, or having their spirit. And my goodness, guys, when we become that family where we're all serving together and we got our eyes on Jesus, the cool thing is, without us actually even trying at this point, he transforms us moment by moment through his spirit into his likeness. So guys, Jesus needs to be our obsession. He needs to be who we think about, who we worship, who we celebrate. So I love about being a part of this church and so much celebration. Guys, it's such a shame in the fall of the year, so much of our celebration happens on Saturday when it really ought to happen on Sunday. Because what we're doing here together is so much more important. And God is so much greater. And so we keep our eyes on him and we worship him. And here's the cool thing. You start becoming more like him. And so it becomes who you are even before it's what you do. And so we enter a time in our service right now where we put our focus completely on what Jesus has done for us. We're about to take communion together. And I want to read this passage from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Because here's my challenge for you in communion today, is to get your eyes on Jesus. Think about who Jesus was, what he revealed about God. And not just who he was, but what he did. And in this, as we dwell on this, we become more like him. And here's the good news. Then out of who we are, then it's pretty easy to figure out what we do. Okay? So let me read this passage. We'll pray. And let's take communion together. Talk about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a what? Servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Wow. Even death on a cross. Let's pray. God, as we have this special time every week to put our focus on you, God, this morning, help us to remember who Jesus revealed you were, a servant. And what Jesus did, he was willing to humble himself because we needed salvation. We needed a model. And to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. Father, help us to remember that these next few moments. Help us to celebrate that and worship you and prepare our hearts, God, for what you're calling us to do in 2026. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let's finish our formula, and got some folks coming up that are going to help me out. Just put them, those four across there and let that right there. Thank you so much. As we talk about what Philippians teaches and actually what Scripture teaches the whole way through, here's the way it goes. If you become a servant and you actually do it, you are a servant, then the final result is joy. So when who you are and what you do line up, life becomes meaningful. The problem in most of our lives and with when who I believe I should be and what I do don't actually line up. But if who you are and what you do line up, then oh my goodness, it gives you the most unbelievable sense of joy. Jesus taught this, John 13, after that radical scene where Jesus washed everybody's feet. Verse 17, he says, if you know these things, serve, wash feet, do the dirty job, and you do them, here we go, you will be blessed. Some passages say, if you understand this truth and you obey this truth, you will be happy. And so today I have no reservation to challenge you to be a part of the work of this church, because it's the church that God has chosen to work through. And together, like we say every Sunday, we can do together what none of us can do apart. We can literally be Jesus. And I think you'll find this to be true. And sometimes you got to sort of push yourself a little bit, because naturally we're all sort of lazy. I'm thinking about this last week. What a great week we had. And maybe it was Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, and you saw the weather forecast was 100% rain. And then we're down there praying over those steps, and God answered those prayers, and it never really, but you just pushed yourself a little bit to come down there and be a part of that. I will guarantee you none of you regretted that decision. It was so powerful. Or maybe it's Wednesday night, and again, we're under threat of rain, the wind's whipping around, and you're thinking, I'm not going to decorate my trunk. I mean, they're not going to, oh no, but maybe you just sort of said, let me just fulfill that responsibility I've given. And you pushed yourself and you showed up and you served. There was a young man in our group cooking hot dogs and wrapping them. And I've known him for years. He's been a part of this church for years, but I don't know I've ever seen him in anything like that where he's serving. And at the end of the night, after cooking and over a hot fire and wrapping hot dogs, he said, this is the most fun I've had in a long time. So if you pushed yourself to come out in the weather and to serve, no one left. So, you know, I wish I'd stayed home and watched TV. And my goodness, yesterday, if you went down to the inner city area and you got to be a part of so many of our folks serving and making a difference, I'm telling you, since we've been going down there in that neighborhood for years, it's a distinct difference in how that neighborhood looks like than what it looked like 5 years ago. And maybe, you know, you were tired and it's Saturday and yet you go, my goodness, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve. I will guarantee you, nobody who did that walked away and said, I wish I hadn't done it. So every once in a while, you know, as you think about what you're going to do, and you try to fulfill that obligation, I'm telling you, it's going to bring you joy. Staying home and doing whatever you wanted to do, I mean, I understand, that's okay, I like to stay home. But you'll never regret going out to serve. Now, I wanted to bring these four folks up here today and interview them just for a moment, because they're all part of the ministry of this church. They all do different things. And one thing I want you to understand today, we're not expecting everybody to do everything, okay? There's so much going on in this church. Everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something, okay? So these four people represent people, the first two here beside me have been around Landmark for a long time. The second two are fairly new, and yet they're all serving in different areas. So what I've asked them to answer today is, how does serving in that area bring you joy? So Jim is very involved in community work, big part of Mercy House. You and Jill go down there regularly. How does that bring you joy?
Well, I enjoy being able to serve people who really cannot maybe do anything for me, and to bring some hope to hopelessness. And we go there once, sometimes twice a week, and help prepare meals and just working alongside Ken Austin's staff and other volunteers. It's just it just fills me with joy to be able to serve people that are in life's big time struggle.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how true scripture is? It really brings joy. The world would say, what in the world, man? You don't live there? You don't, no. Gwendolyn, I want you up here just for your smile, okay? That's good enough. But Gwendolyn is one of our greeters, and you'll see her greeting most Sundays. So Gwendolyn, that's just a simple task, but we know it makes a big difference. How does that bring you joy?
Buddy, it brings me such joy when I see other believers coming in, and we get to talk, find out what's happened during the week, what's going on in their lives, just to bring a smile to their face, and they bring a smile to my face. And it's just like, I just remember during COVID when the church was closed and we couldn't come in at that time, and I remember being at home on my sofa cooking dinner while Buddy was preaching. But but I was sitting along with Jeremy and all of them.
No joy, okay?
But I know. But when they opened the doors of the church back up, I felt so good to be able to see the faces of my sisters and brothers and people who love God. And just to be able, even though we weren't hugging then, we were fist bumping, it was just wonderful just to see everybody and just the fellowship.
It was great when we got past that one.
Yes, it was.
Now, most of you know Dee Dee Nolan. She's coming to this church like a whirlwind, which is Dee Dee style. But she has an incredible heart, has for decades, for children's ministry. Mm-hmm. And you don't see her here all the time in here because she's always back there. So, Dee Dee, how does serving our children bring you joy?
Well, for me, my parents didn't go to church. Mm-hmm. And so Red and Fela picked us up. I get to teach their great-great-grandchildren right now.
Wow.
Big Mom and Big Daddy Suggs were huge, too, to us. And I've got their great-great-grandchild. Because I've been doing this 46 years.
Wow.
Not that old. But, you know, for me, not all the time, but every once in a while, you get to see that light when they get it. You know, and to me, children are safer. You know, I mean, they're just my safe place. You know, I mean, I like you fine, but I adore Eleanor. She melts me. I'd rather talk
She's
to her.
Perfect,
you know, I mean, it's like, so to me, you know, I'm not scared of our future. To me, the children, they're so smart. They so want it. They're getting more. When I was little, I was desperate for Jesus because we didn't have him. I don't remember my parents ever telling us, but my Sunday school teachers, most of them really, really nice. You know, if they hadn't taught me, I would have lived a different lifestyle. My children would have lived a different lifestyle. And my grandchildren who asked me to say, hey, y'all. So they wouldn't be living like they're living. We'd be in the We were just the white trailer trash. Nothing against trailers. But we were those people.
I knew you'd say something interesting, Dee Dee.
Yeah, we were those people that you didn't want your kids to hang out with. And I didn't blame them. They didn't come to our house. You know, they had to be real brave. But for me, the joy of just when they get it, when you ask them something and they tell you, little three-year-olds can tell you Joseph and Mary, and they're more desperate, I think, because the world's more worldly. They're more desperate for Jesus. And you're going to fill it with something. Their heart's going to fill up with something.
Thank you. I love to hear about the legacy that you're laying. This is Ben. Ben and his wife, Lizzie, are new to Landmark. They live in Prattville, and they've been a part of starting a life group in the middle of the week in Prattville, and going really, really well, something we needed. Ben, how has that brought y'all joy?
Well, in a general sense, I'm a big believer in small groups, life groups, gathering in a home, fellowshipping with fellow believers. You know, I love how it models what we read about in the early church. And it just, in my opinion, is the way to build deeper connections with your brothers and sisters in a way that is just hard, if not impossible, if you're only coming Sunday mornings. So for me, it's a joy to just add another touch point for that. And to feel good about stewarding the gift of our home as a, you know, as a means to that, to know that we are using the things God has given us to serve him in that way. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, there's days where you're stressed and you're thinking, oh, we're not ready for people to come over. The house isn't clean enough, or all the things that can try to distract us. But no matter how it goes, at the end of those nights, I'm always just smiling. It's the most fun dishes to be cleaning. It's the most restful thing, no matter what state the house is in, because people don't care. We just, you know, it doesn't matter. Inviting people into the good, the bad, and the ugly of your situation and getting to know them get to know you. I mean, selfishly, it just fills me up. So even if no one else is getting anything out of it, I really feel that joy from it. And specifically, as you know, mentioned to Landmark, it's a joy to get to provide that in Prattville for people who maybe live a little bit farther out from here. So shameless plug, if you're in the Prattville-Millbrook area, you're not in a small group, come on.
Amen.
You got plenty of room.
It's a great plug, man. Thank you so much. Let me ask you, Ben and Dee Dee, if either one of y'all would like to answer. As a new person, it's sort of intimidating coming into big church and looking at all these things that you could do. What would you say to someone new about, you know, because there's a temptation to say, hey, man, I'm on probation for a while. Let me wait. What would you say to someone new about getting involved?
Well, I don't know what good waiting would do. I mean, but for me, it's like, I get way more out of teaching than I give. Amen. And, you know, I thought Joseph Fury probably doesn't remember me teaching him, but he was up on stage. That was my first class.
Wow.
Every time I see him, I think, yes, you know, I just think. So for me, it's almost selfish. I feel like, you know, it's not hard for me to teach. So every once in a while, I think, well, I really should do something hard because this isn't hard. This isn't a sacrifice.
That's what we want you to find. We want you to find your sweet spot.
Yeah.
That matches and, your gifts.
Yeah.
You know, Ben, anything you add to that toward a new person?
Yeah. You know, I think, whether you're a new Christian or you've known the Lord for a long time, I think we can find ourselves easily in seasons of whether I'm doing God's will. You know, is, am I doing the right thing? And then we can think with our careers and big levels. But if you're serving in your church, you're in God's will. And it's as simple as that. You can find peace and joy in that. So whether it's the smallest thing or the biggest thing, there's not a single thing on that list that wouldn't fill you up and that wouldn't serve your brothers and sisters in a really meaningful way.
Thank you. Now, Gwendolyn, you've been here for a while, and you're a member, and you look at this list every year.
Yeah.
So what would you say to some of our folks who have been around here a while? Maybe one time they were really engaged, and maybe because of life circumstances had to disengage a little bit. How would you encourage them to look at this form?
Well, I would encourage you to look at that form. I mean, read it all the way through before you commit and think about each of the different sections to make sure you're a good fit for it. If something sparks you and the Spirit moves you in that moment as you're going through it the second, maybe third time, go ahead and put a check mark there and everything. Because if you have a desire or a zeal to do something, you're going to put your heart and your soul into it. So, you know, there's at least one thing that each of us, no matter how long we've been a part of Landmark, there's at least one thing on that list that you could do, and I'm sure you could probably find others, but find that one, if nothing else.
Amen. Thank you. Jim, I want you to close our time out. Jim is and Jill are starting a new ministry called The Least of These. It's on this list, and would you tell us a little bit about that ministry?
Well, for about 3 or 4 or 5 months, we kept running across verses in Matthew 25 just kept popping up either in your sermon or hearing from other things. And so we just, we've been involved with in kind of a homeless ministry already. But I thought, you know, we need to probably start a ministry here. And I'm just going to share these verses with you real quick. Matthew 25 verses 34 through 40. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And, we're going to start a homeless ministry where probably quarterly we'll be collecting items, and it won't be just about collecting things, and it won't be just about people outside of Landmark. You know, people are facing a lot of struggles. So this won't be just about homelessness, but it will be a lot of that. And just be able to accumulate sleeping bags and tents and gloves, and, you know, the weather's changing now. And if you are looking at all, you see the homeless population is just increasing. And I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen. So. I'm so thankful because most of us feel so helpless in that situation. Would you guys give these folks a hand for sharing with us? Thank y'all very much. Okay. Now, this time, everybody, please take out your form. If you don't have a form, raise your hand. Because again, this is the key to ministry in the next year here at Landmark. But we're going to give you a little time to fill this out right now. So please take this and, look over this. Now, one thing let me say is we want every individual to fill, you don't fill this out as a husband wife team. You fill this out individuals. We want teenagers to fill this out. But we need one of these from everybody. Okay. So there'll be a time in just a few moments where you can walk and commit yourself before the elders of this church to be a part of this great ministry. I would encourage you. I love what Gwendolyn said. Look for that place that you got a spark. You might also look at some of the ministries that are more inward here for our church family. We always need more help in children's ministry. You might also look for some of our outward ministries. There's lots of those in the community. You might look at some things where you feel called and other things where you feel, hey, this is just one of those family chores that needs to happen. Some special needs we have, like I mentioned, children's ministry. Our tech ministry is redeveloping right now. We need, so if any of you have any tech abilities, please sign up for that. Life Center. We want to use that more and more. Being a small group leader, our Mary Martha ministry to people that are hurting, of providing a meal after funeral services, always needs more people. But look over this and look for some areas. Some of you, it may be a moment to stretch yourself. You know, I've been doing this for years and years and years. Let me go try something different. But here's the challenge I want to say. I think it was said here. Commit yourself. Whatever you check, whatever you sign up for, be committed. And if for some reason you sign up for all this and you don't hear from us, we need to hear from you because we want to make sure every member of this church is involved in ministry. It's not just because we want to get some things done. It's because we'll have more joy. I think this week has been a great illustration as we serve together than any other way. So there's also, let me ask the shepherds to come forward and get their baskets. I think we have a basket for each section. If they would come, they're just going to hold those in a moment. You'll have some time to fill out. There's also a giving commitment card. You can see this. You can read this. But our shepherds developed this. This is what we say to new members who come through Landmark 101 because we believe that giving is also a big part of serving. And I love the last paragraph. Landmark Church believes that the New Testament standard of generosity is a higher standard than tithing. God expects Christians to display generosity in every part of our life. While the standard of generosity is more comprehensive than tithing, it still requires a commitment to the financial support of the local church. We believe, and I love this line, that God desires for every member to experience the joy of being a financial supporter of the ministries entrusted to this church. So if you turn that in also, we'll help in our planning. So I want you to take some time and I want you to take your moment to fill this out. And then as you complete that, please come up. I want to end with the words of Jesus. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It truly is the path of joy. When you decide you want to be more and more like Jesus, you want to do what Jesus would do, oh my goodness, it just flat works. You're going to have more joy than you've ever had. So let's, I love the title of our sermon today. Service is how we roll. Well, this joy ride, this is how we roll together. I am so thankful that we get to do this together. So let's all respond while we fill our forms out and bring them forward. If you need prayers at the church today or ready to surrender your life to Jesus, meet me down here.